Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. We're in the book of Exodus, and this is chapter 4. Let's all ask the Lord to bless it into our spirits. Lord God Almighty, our Father, our Holy Father, Lord, let us learn these things that you have stated that in the Old Testament are our examples and also from the New Testament. We can judge whether people are doing good or whether people are doing evil by reading your word. We can see what happens to people that lie, steal, backbite, and are users that use people. We see what happens to them. They don't stick around too long. They don't ever have a good life. We see that in the last days people will betray one another, and we see in your word what will happen to those that betray one another, especially brethren, especially dignities in your word. You said in these last days that there'd be betrayers, and you told us to watch out for false brethren. And that means brethren means also brothers and sisters. And so, Father, we pray that everyone will learn by the sins that people have made in the Old Testament and the New Testament, and keep those sort of sins far away from them. And we see the mistakes that people have made in the Old and New Testament, and we pray that people will shape their lives up in accordance to the things that others have done and not done. Lord, we can avoid so much by just paying heed to the other people's lives in the Bible, people, human beings just like ourselves, that have lived before us. And Lord, these lessons should and must put fear of you, fear of your word, which is you, into our hearts, that we don't transgress your word, because your word tells us what happened to those type of individuals. And people that don't believe your word, they soon will, because life is so short, that they're going to find out real soon. Because we're grassy, vapory, shadowy. We appear for a moment like a shadow. We appear for a moment like grass that goes up in the during the day, and it's during the blazing sun comes out and just destroys it, that withers away. We're like vapors that appear for a moment and we're gone. And then when we're ready to die, we think of the kind of lives that we've lived, and well, we'd like to go back and live them over again, because we know that we're going out to meet God. But then we see that it's too late. The whole life must be lived according to the things that we learn from your word, the things that we are to do. And we are to totally shun the things that we see that we're not to do. Because the end of our life could be any time. Could be today, tonight, tomorrow, in the middle of the night. So Lord, put your fear in us. And let not people think about their simple, meager lives on this side of eternity as what they want to do or what they think they ought to do. They don't have to think. You're God. You created us, and you're the one who tells us what we're to do if we want to enter the kingdom of heaven. And Lord, we ask that you'll quicken every testimony in this book, in your word, into our spirits, the mind of our spirits, so that we can live a healthy and happy life, a life without sin, and that we can spend eternity in the kingdom of God, in the kingdom of heaven with you and with all the saints. Lord, we ask that you come against every demonic power of darkness in the blood of Jesus, the blood of Jesus which destroyed the works of Satan and cleanses the whole world from sin. Lord, we ask this in the mighty name of Jesus, and everyone says, Amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. All right, let's begin. It's
chapter 4, King James Version, verse 1. And Moses answered and said, But behold, they will not believe me, nor hearken unto my voice.
Now this is just after the Lord appeared to Moses in the burning bush, and astounded Moses because the bush didn't burn up. Right there at Mount Sinai, before he had gone to Egypt, and before he had led the Hebrews out of the land of Egypt and through the Red Sea. And so the Lord is directing him now. Go ahead.
For they will say, The Lord hath not appeared unto thee. And the Lord said unto him, What is that in thine hand? And he said, A rod. And he said, Cast it on the ground. And he cast it on the ground, and it became a serpent. And Moses fled from before it. And the Lord said unto Moses, Put forth thine hand, and take it by the tail. And he put forth his hand, and caught it, and it became a rod in his hand. That they may believe that the Lord God of their fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, hath appeared unto thee. And the Lord said furthermore unto him, Put now thine hand into thy bosom. And he put his hand into his bosom, and when he took it out, behold, his hand was leprous as snow.
This is how fast God, to this very day, because he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, can smite somebody with a disease that is so evil that you can't get rid of it. But if he knows that you're righteous, then read on.
And he said, Put thine hand into thy bosom again. And he put his hand into his bosom again, and plucked it out of his bosom, and behold, it was turned again as his other flesh.
Just as normal as the rest of the flesh of his body. Now, that shows how fast the Lord can heal. Just in a flash of a second. Amen?
Amen.
He's the same today as he was then. And he'll be the same tomorrow and throughout eternity. So people have to have that kind of faith, because this isn't just for Moses. This is for you. It's for me, and it's for everybody that believes. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's go.
And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe thee, neither hearken to the voice of the first sign, that they will believe the voice of the latter sign.
Yeah. If they don't believe that this is of you're of the Lord because your rod turns into a snake, then they'll believe when you put your hand in your bosom and pull it back out and it's leprosy. You put it back in and then it's not leprosy. Okay, so.
Translation verses 1 through 8. The signs of the Lord's power. 1. But Moses protested again, quote, Look, they won't believe me, exclamation mark. They won't do what I tell them. They'll just say to me, The Lord never appeared to you, unquote. Then the Lord asked him, quote, What do you have there in your hand? Quote, A shepherd's staff, Moses replied. Quote, Throw it down on the ground, the Lord told him. So Moses threw it down, and it became a snake, exclamation mark. Moses was terrified, so he turned and ran away. Then the Lord told him, quote, Take hold of its tail. So Moses reached out and grabbed it, and it became a shepherd's staff again. Quote, Perform this sign, and they will believe you, the Lord told him. Then they will realize that the Lord, the God of their ancestors, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, really has appeared to you, unquote. Then the Lord told Moses, quote, Put your hand inside your robe, unquote. Moses did so, and when he took it out again, his hand was white as snow with leprosy. Quote, Now put your hand back into your robe again, the Lord said. Moses did, and when he took it out, this time it was as healthy as the rest of his body. Quote, If they do not believe the first miraculous sign, they will believe the second, the Lord said. King James Version, verse 9. And it shall come to pass, if they will not believe also these two signs, neither hearken unto thy voice, that thou shalt take of the water of the river, and pour it upon the dry land. And the water which thou takest out of the river shall become blood upon the dry land. Translation, verse 9, quote, "And if they do not believe you even after these two signs, then take some water from the Nile River and pour it out on the dry ground. When you do, it will turn into blood." Unquote. King James Version, verse 10. "And Moses said unto the Lord, O my Lord, I am not eloquent, neither heretofore, nor since thou hast spoken unto thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. And the Lord said unto him, Who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Have not I the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be with thy mouth, and teach thee what thou shalt say. And he said, O my Lord, send, I pray thee, by the hand of him whom thou wilt send. And the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and he said, Is not Aaron the Levite thy brother? I know that he can speak well. And also, behold, he cometh forth to meet thee. And when he seeth thee, he will be glad in his heart. And thou shalt speak unto him, and put words in his mouth. And I will be with thy mouth, and with his mouth, and will teach you what ye shall do. And he shall be thy spokesman unto the people. And he shall be, even he, shall be to thee instead of a mouth, and thou shalt be to him instead of God." Translation, verses 10 through 16. But Moses pleaded with the Lord, quote, "O Lord, I'm just not a good speaker. I never have been, and I'm not now, even after you have spoken to me. I'm clumsy with words." Unquote. Quote, "Who makes mouths?" the Lord asked him. "Who makes people so they can speak or not speak, hear or not hear, see or not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go and do as I have told you. I will help you speak well, and I will tell you what to say." But Moses again pleaded, quote, "Lord, please," exclamation mark, "send someone else," unquote. Then the Lord became angry with Moses. Quote, "All right," he said, "what about your brother Aaron the Levite? He is a good speaker. And look," exclamation mark, "he is on his way to meet you now. And when he sees you, he will be very glad. You will talk to him, giving him the words to say. I will help both of you to speak clearly, and I will tell you what to do. Aaron will be your spokesman to the people, and you will be as God to him, telling him what to say." King James Version, verse 17. "And thou shalt take this rod in thine hand, wherewith thou shalt do signs." And Moses went and returned to Jethro his father-in-law, and said unto him, "Let me go, I pray thee, and return unto my brethren which are in Egypt, and see whether they be yet alive." And Jethro said to Moses, "Go in peace." And the Lord said unto Moses in Midian, "Go, return into Egypt, for all the men are dead which sought thy life." Translation, verses 17 through 19. "And be sure to take your shepherd's staff along, so you can perform the miraculous signs I have shown you." Moses returns to Egypt. Then Moses went back home and talked it over with Jethro, his father-in-law. Quote, "With your permission," Moses said, "I would like to go back to Egypt to visit my family. I don't even know whether they are still alive." Unquote. Quote, "Go with my blessing," Jethro replied. Before Moses left Midian, the Lord said to him, quote, "Do not be afraid to return to Egypt, for all those who wanted to kill you are dead." Unquote. King James Version, verse 20. "And Moses took his wife and his sons, and set them upon an ass, and he returned to the land of Egypt. And Moses took the rod of God in his hand. And the Lord said unto Moses, When thou goest to return into Egypt, see that thou do all those wonders before Pharaoh, which I have put in thine hand. But I will harden his heart, that he shall not let the people go." Translation verses 20 through 21. "So Moses took his wife and sons, put them on a donkey, and headed back to the land of Egypt. In his hand he carried the staff of God. Then the Lord reminded him, quote, When you arrive back in Egypt, go to Pharaoh and perform the miracles I have empowered you to do. But I will make him stubborn, so he will not let the people go." King James Version, verse 22. "And thou shalt say unto Pharaoh, Thus saith the Lord, Israel is my son, even my firstborn. And I say unto thee, Let my son go, that he may serve me. And if thou refuse to let him go, behold, I will slay thy son, even thy firstborn. And it came to pass by the way in the inn that the Lord met him and sought to kill him. Then Zipporah took a sharp stone and cut off the foreskin of her son and cast it at his feet and said, Surely a bloody husband art thou to me. So he let him go. Then she said, A bloody husband thou art because of the circumcision."
Okay, because those people didn't, people didn't believe in circumcision, and she didn't want the boy to be circumcised, even though God wanted to, and so what she did is just said, here's your bloody circumcision, and threw it at him. Okay? It's just like some wives today, they say, I don't believe in circumcision, I'm not going to have my boy circumcised. And really, you don't have to be anymore, because it's, but most of the people back then, only the Jews believed in circumcision. Amen?
Amen.
And so she didn't like him to do that because it's her little precious darling, you know? You're a bloody husband, you bloodthirsty thing. And threw the foreskin at him. Right? You understand now?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
"And the Lord said to Aaron, Go into the wilderness to meet Moses. And he went and met him in the Mount of God and kissed him." Translation verses 22 through 27. "Then you will tell him, quote, This is what the Lord says. Israel is my firstborn son. I commanded you to let him go, so he can worship me. But since you have refused, be warned. I will kill your firstborn son! Exclamation mark. On the journey, when Moses and his family had stopped for the night, the Lord confronted Moses and was about to kill him. But Zipporah, his wife, took a flint knife and circumcised her son."
He says, "Honey, you know, the Lord said he's going to kill me because I don't circumcise this boy." And so she says, "Here, I'll do it," and cut it and gave it to him. Right? That's insight. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
"She threw the foreskin at Moses' feet and said, quote, What a blood-smeared bridegroom you are to me! Exclamation mark. Unquote. Bracket, when she called Moses a, quote, blood-smeared bridegroom, unquote, she was referring to the circumcision. And bracket. After that, the Lord let him alone. Now the Lord had said to Aaron, quote, Go out into the wilderness to meet Moses. Unquote. So Aaron traveled to the mountain of God, for he found Moses and greeted him warmly. King James Version, verse 28. And Moses told Aaron all the words of the Lord, who who had sent him, and all the signs which he had commanded him. And Moses and Aaron went and gathered together all the elders of the children of Israel. And Aaron spake all the words which the Lord had spoken unto Moses, and did the signs in the sight of the people. And the people believed, and when they heard that the Lord had visited the children of Israel, and that he had looked upon their affliction, then they bowed their heads and worshipped. Translation verses 28 through 31. Moses then told Aaron everything the Lord had commanded them to do and say, and he told him about the miraculous signs they were to perform. So Moses and Aaron returned to Egypt and called the leaders of Israel to a meeting. Aaron told them everything the Lord had told Moses, and Moses performed the miraculous signs as they watched. The leaders were soon convinced that the Lord had sent Moses and Aaron, and when they realized that the Lord had seen their misery and was deeply concerned for them, they all bowed their heads and worshipped.
Okay, that was the last verse in chapter 4, and now we have some commentary.
Chapter 4, verses 10 through 12. Quote, but Moses pleaded with the Lord, quote, O Lord, I'm just not a good speaker. I never have been, and I'm not now, even after you have spoken to me. I'm clumsy with words. Quote, who makes mouths? The Lord asked him. Who makes people so they can speak or not speak, hear or not hear, see or not see? Is it not I, the Lord? Now go and do as I have told you. I will help you speak well, and I will tell you what to say. Unquote. Moses may have had a speech impediment, but that wasn't a legitimate excuse for not doing what the Lord said, for not following God's plan.
Right. The Lord, I have an impediment. I've got glaucoma. I'm legally blind. And that doesn't stop me from writing. Amen?
Amen.
Now, I could try to make that as an excuse, but I don't think it would go well for me at the judgment bar of God if I did. I probably write more than anybody I know, and maybe more than anybody everybody I know in the world. Now, there might be somebody that writes more, I don't know. But I write plenty, more than anybody in this church. Okay, then what? We have to be faithful no matter what the Lord calls us to do. And if I go totally blind, I'll have to just feel my way along with the pencil or pen. Or I'll just have to say it, just have somebody read for me, and then I'll have to expound, okay? Then what else? That's primarily what I do anyway.
He didn't have an accurate perception of who he could become with God's help. While Moses was engaging in a kind of self-examination, he was doing so with a negative attitude.
Right, you've got to, what seems impossible to man is possible with God. All things are possible. You can do all things that the Lord tells you to do. Only believe, just do it. Okay? There's no excuse going to help you out at the judgment bar. No, if he tells you to do something, whether you think you can, he wouldn't be telling you to do something if you couldn't do it. Okay, then what?
While Moses was engaging in a kind of self-examination, he was doing so with a negative attitude, and fearful attitude, I might add. He was not yet at the point of letting God change him. Our weaknesses should never be an excuse for us to avoid being recovered or mature.
Or, in other words, mature means doing what the Lord tells you to do. Everybody can do what the Lord wants you to do. Do you believe that?
Yes.
Okay, then what?
With God's help, anything is possible. We need to realize that God can capitalize on our strength, helping us reach our full maturity. 4 verses 18 through 28. Before Moses could take the mantle of Israel's leadership, there was an unresolved issue he needed to face. Moses had not circumcised his son, which was his responsibility, under the covenant God had given to Abraham and his descendants. Genesis 17:9-14. Quote, "And God said unto Abraham, Thou shalt keep my covenant, therefore, thou and thy seed after thee in their generations. This is my covenant which ye shall keep between me and you and thy seed after thee. Every man-child among you shall be circumcised, and ye shall circumcise the flesh of your foreskin, and it shall be a token of the covenant betwixt me and you. And he that is 8 days old shall be circumcised among you, every man-child in your generations, he that is born in the house or bought with money of any stranger, which is not of thy seed. He that is born in thy house, and he that is bought with thy money, must needs be circumcised. And my covenant shall be in your flesh for an everlasting covenant. And the uncircumcised man-child, whose flesh of his foreskin is not circumcised, that soul shall be cut off from his people. He hath broken my covenant."
Right, and so today, thank God, we're not circumcised in the flesh. We have to circumcise our own self by carrying a cross. That's circumcision. And circumcision is of the heart. The Holy Spirit has to circumcise our heart, has to cut into our heart, and we have to walk in the Holy Spirit so that there isn't any fleshy thing that we do. We have to be spiritual, walk in the Spirit. We can't get hung up into anything in this world, no matter how glorious we think some of the things are in this world. We're to just walk after the Spirit. It's circumcision of the heart. The Holy Spirit must live in our hearts every minute of every day. Because if the Holy Spirit leaves us, that means that the lamp, God's light, has gone out in us and we're lost forever. All right, then what?
So here God forced the issue so Moses could legitimately lead God's covenant people. We often need to deal with unresolved issues from the past before progress with God's program for our life can take place.
In other words, we have to clean up our act. We think that everything that we did in the past and everything that we do every day is all right with the Lord, and it's not, and that's why your lives may not be blessed. If there's no blessing on your life, or hardly any blessing. So we have to clean up our act according to the word of the Lord and resolve to begin serving the Lord and walking under the influence, under the Holy Spirit. We must be disciplined by the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit. Then what?
Chapter 4, verses 1 through 9. The signs given to Moses were for his sake, to prove that God was with him. Often signs or miracles are given to God's people to prove God is on the scene with them and on the behalf of his people. 4 verse 2, quote, "Then the Lord asked him, quote, what do you have there in your hand? Unquote, quote, a shepherd's staff, Moses replied, unquote. God takes the ordinary, such as a shepherd's rod, and uses it as an extraordinary rod of God. This rod is used to perform various miracles by God's power through the prophet Moses.
And it happens that way because God said it would. That's why he said, be sure you take the rod. Now, you could have a rod in your hand and carry it around all the time, but God never ordained that rod to do anything. He did the rod of Moses. Amen?
Amen.
All right, then what?
4 verse 10, quote, "But Moses pleaded with the Lord, quote, O Lord, I'm just not a good speaker. I never have been, and I'm not now, even after you have spoken to me. I'm clumsy with words," unquote. Quote, "O my Lord," is Moses' recognition that God has a right to command him. Quote, "O my Lord, I am not eloquent, slow of speech and slow of tongue," is Moses' claim to being inadequate at persuasive conversation, or for him to be able to confront anyone with his speech. quote, neither before nor since, unquote, indicates his perspective that his problem is long-standing and that his encounter with the Lord, Yahweh, has not changed matters at all.
So he's just saying, I've had this impediment for such a long time, and just because I talk to God doesn't mean that I'm going to stop talking slowly and stuttering. Amen?
Amen.
But he had to believe, you know, that now that God is with me, all things are possible. Amen?
Amen.
It's not going to be like it was before. Amen?
Amen.
It's going to be different now. God's with me. Okay, then what?
4, verse 12. Quote, now go and do as I have told you. I will help you speak well, and I will tell you what to say. Unquote. The promise made here is similar to Matthew chapter 10, verses 19 through 20. Quote, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what ye shall speak, for it shall be given you in that same hour what ye shall speak. For it is not ye that speak, but the Spirit of your Father which speaketh in you. Unquote.
I never forgot that one. I was in court one time, and the prosecuting attorney was asking me, did you try to harpoon your stepdaughter? And, of course, I hadn't. She was just an incorrigible liar. And I said no, and everybody started laughing because they knew nobody had ever tried to harpoon their stepdaughter, anybody that I know of. And they knew that I was pretty straight-laced about murdering somebody or doing anything like that to anybody. Then he said, then she had accused me of raping her, and I didn't know. It was such a just a ridiculous question that the Lord just put in my mouth, I have never raped any water buffalo, because she was really big and fat, and always was. She'd eat a whole cake at one sitting and a whole half gallon of milk. And then right when she's wiping her mouth after she got done with it, she'd say, now what's for lunch? And then you'd tell her, and then you'd say, then she'd say, well, what's for supper? That was the main thing on her mind, is what's next, Brother Jonathan? Okay? And everybody, even the prosecuting attorney, busted up laughing. So it was just such a ridiculous question that I just said, I've never raped any water buffalo. As a matter of fact, I've never raped anybody in my life. Okay? And when I went up the next day, I had to go to see the probation officer because there'd just been so many false accusations against me and my wife, Susie, that this woman looked like the beast. It's not nice to talk bad about people, but she was like a beastly type woman. She was on drugs and, you know, just obnoxious thing. And she was also going up and down the beach trying to get lifeguards to have relationships with her. And she finally got pregnant by one of them, and I told Sue, we've got to put her away in a detention home. She was only about 14, 15 years old, and she'd run away from home all the time, and finally I did put her in Sylmar. And so after she got out of Sylmar, and after Susie died, she just started bringing all kinds of accusations against me because she was jealous because her mother loved me. And her mother still loved her, too, even though she was the way that she was, and told every kind of lie about her own mother and about me and everything, and just caused tremendous havoc in the church. And then this trial happened, and the Lord just filled my mouth with, I never would have thought to say anything like that, but I said it knowing that maybe the prosecutor is going to get mad, or the judge, or the whole people. But I just said it, and everybody, when I went up to the probation officer the next day, she said, you tore everybody up. Even the judge was laughing about that after the trial. But it wasn't me. It was the Lord speaking right out of my mouth. If I would have said, absolutely not, and all this, you know, it would have been, they would have thought that maybe I did, you know. But, I mean, she was making so many ridiculous accusations that they never used her as a witness again in any of the other court cases, false court cases that they brought me in on. Okay, so we have to use the Lord's wisdom. And sometimes you'll get the impulse to say something, you want to hold back, because you figure that maybe this will cause the just, if you know it's the Lord, just say it. And it just brought relaxation to the court, and everything was just fine after that. And it was a bond. I was trying to get out on bond, and the judge actually, they weren't going to let me out on bond, but when I said that, they says, all right, we'll let you out on bond. Isn't that something?
Yes.
Okay. I hadn't done anything wrong, but, you know, the powers of darkness in high places will do everything they can do to stop people that are of the Lord, that are bringing the message, and bringing the message to the world as strong as we have. And so I've been in court so many times, and I've won every case, and then finally they got this Internal Revenue Service thing, and they didn't have anything there either, but they hired and paid at least 11 witnesses, former people that were at the church. They said they'd let people out of prison if they lie against me, and they do that today. Everybody knows that. I think it's in the papers, and one person after the other is saying things like that. But just, I wasn't thinking of what to say. I had no idea what they were going to say in the courtroom. And that just threw me for a loop. But I said, Lord, what? And he says, just tell them that you've never, ever raped any water buffalo. And I thought the word elephant would have been better, but he said water buffalo, so I went with that. All right, then what?
When we do not know how to respond, he'll give us the proper words and the boldness as well. 4, verse 24 through 26.
Quote, incidentally, I won that case, too. All right, then what?
4, verse 24 through 26. Quote, on the journey when Moses and his family had stopped for the night, the Lord confronted Moses and was about to kill him. But Zipporah, his wife, took a flint knife and circumcised her son. She threw the foreskin at Moses' feet and said, quote, what a blood-smeared bridegroom you are to me, exclamation mark, unquote. Bracket, when she called Moses a, quote, blood-smeared bridegroom, she was referring to the circumcision, end bracket. After that, the Lord left him alone, unquote. This apparently is a very difficult passage for many theologians, teachers, students. They say it's filled with obscurity. But all it is that it is apparent, plain, that Moses neglected to circumcise his son. And circumcision was an action that served as a sign of God's covenant relationship with his people as designated by God himself. Genesis 17:10-14. Failure to perform this rite may have been caused by his wife's abhorrence of the practice, or by adhering to the Midianite rite, which called for males to be circumcised at puberty when they were older.
Yeah, puberty means around 14 years old. I'd rather be circumcised when I was 8 days old. Right?
Right.
Okay, then what?
However, as head of the house, Moses should have performed this rite, his duty, when his son was 8 days old. As he is now about to become Israel's deliverer, God is displeased and vicariously uses Zipporah to do what Moses should have done. 4, verse 26, quote, when she called Moses a blood-smeared bridegroom, she was referring to the circumcision. After that, the Lord left him alone, unquote. The meaning of a husband of blood, without a doubt, to me refers to Zipporah's indignation or her feelings about this circumcision just performed. In other words, Midianite circumcised at puberty, which is around 14 years old. And here Moses told her that it had to be done when a child is 8 days old. That was her baby, and she just really seemed like she was indignant about him making her circumcise him so young. 4, verse 30 through 31.
Quote, so it's no longer obscure, right?
Right.
Okay.
Quote, Aaron told them everything the Lord had told Moses, and Moses performed the miraculous signs as they watched. The leaders were soon convinced that the Lord had sent Moses and Aaron. And when they realized that the Lord had seen their misery and was deeply concerned for them, they all bowed their heads and worshipped. Unquote. The signs validate the call of Moses. All the signs that God gave him, the snake, the leprosy, the rod, and caused the people to believe. Bowing heads was a sign of respect.
Well, praise the Lord, that was chapter 4 in the book of Exodus, the second book of Moses. And we'll be doing chapter 5 this evening. Remember, keep thinking about the Lord, and keep thinking of the example that we must obey the Lord. The Lord was actually going to kill Moses, and he would have. And finally, he did. He put Moses to death because he disobeyed the actual significance of hitting the stone once, and then he spoke unadvisedly at the end of the book by saying, "Must we bring this water forth for all these people?" And as if to say that they're the ones that brought the water forth rather than God. So God says, "I'll just show you that you're not God. You're going to die." And actually let him die. So praise the Lord. Keep thinking about the Lord. Meditate on him both day and night. Keep looking up. And until chapter 5, God bless you. Real good. Amen.